Now, I'm delighted to welcome my first two guests into studio this afternoon. Delighted to welcome Elma Walsh, who has just brought out a book called I Am Me, The Donal Walsh Story, with a foreword by Bishop Ray Brown. And Elma is here to chat to us, and she's also joined by Father Mark Moriarty, who is attached to the, who is the curate at St. John's Parish here in Tralee. And he's also going to chat. Incredible.
Yeah, it is.
It seems
amazing.
Like a long time ago, but in another way, it went by in the blink of an eye, didn't
it? What astounds me is that, like, a knock last week, there was young people there from 10 up, 10, like, you know, 6 class up, would that be 10 or 11 up? And, like, 10 years ago, they weren't even born, but they all know about Donal.
They've heard of him.
Yeah. And it's amazing that his legacy has continued so strong to this present day, like, and his message is as strong today as it was, but it's also needed as much today as it was then.
Maybe even more.
Maybe even more, yeah.
And what was the whole idea behind the book? So Bishop Ray Brown came to you and said...
Well, he was talking about different things for a while, and then he said, maybe you should put a book together about Donal, and he gave us the kind of headlines in that aspects of his life since he died, and the impact that he's had since he died with different people and everything. So... I was right. You have to remember, Donal was only 16 years old and he had a very short life. So it's a short story, really. Donal's story is a short story. So I was trying to kind of figure out, how am I going to expand on this book? And I did pray to the Holy Spirit, and I just got the inspiration to get testimonies from different people. You know, people that Donal had met in life, his friends, people he hadn't met in life, but who has impacted on his life since he died. And I think it's either 19 or 20 testimonies are in the book. And they range from Archbishop Charles Brown, who was Papal Nuncio in Ireland, to Donal's friends, Paul O'Connell, Brendan O'Connor, a load of people. And when I wrote to them and asked them for their testimonies, I gave them a 2-week deadline, because I think nothing focuses the mind better than a deadline. So,
Wise woman.
And straight away they all came back with their version of Donal. And I thought that was good, because it didn't give them time to adjust their story or change their story. It was how they felt about him about 3-4 months ago. So 13 years after he died, nearly. This was how their stories are in that book of how they felt about what Donal did and what he said and their impact on their lives.
And I might actually come back to the testimonials later on, because you very kindly dropped in a copy of the book to me early this morning, and I've actually been dipping in and out of it all morning. I'm just conscious of the fact there may be some people listening who are not totally familiar with Donal's story. And just to summarise it, if that's okay, he was a perfectly healthy young man growing up in Tralee, playing football for Cairns O'Rahillies, playing rugby, sports mad, loads of friends and everything. And then he got ill, and that's when things took an awful turn.
Yeah, he was playing sports actually in Cairns O'Rahillies in a game, and he went down. And it wasn't like Donal to get down to fall, and his knee just gave in, above his knee just gave in with pain. And make a long story short, really, he really got it tested, and he was diagnosed with a tumour, an 8-centimetre tumour just above his right knee. And that was in 2008. He went through all the chemotherapies. He had part of his leg removed, which actually was a bigger shock to him than getting the cancer, because he realised then he would never be able to play an impact sport again because of the titanium in his leg, the metal in his leg. And he went on after that to live a normal life for 2 years. And then, unfortunately, about 2 years after, he got a pain in his back, and it turned out that the cancer had gone to his lung. So he went through more chemotherapy and an operation to have part of his lung removed. And again, he got the all clear the following June. And unfortunately, in September of the same year, 2012, he got multiple tumours on all his joints in his body, in his knees, wrists, arms and ankles. And this time there was no more chemo. This time it was terminal. So he was only 16 at the time, just 16. He was 16 in June. He was diagnosed terminal in October. And I suppose... He was a boy who was always into his faith. He was never afraid of sharing about his faith to his friends. He was a boy who's kind of practical. And I suppose that came from being in hospital at a young age and seeing what was going on around him with other young people. And so he was quite aware of where he was going and what was happening to him. But he really wanted people to live their best lives. You know, he had just taken up the gym and cycling because he couldn't play a sport. So he wanted people to live their best lives and make the most out of their lives. And like today, as then, like today, unfortunately, suicide is a huge problem. And he saw that there was a lot of suicide, especially in Kerry at the time. And here he was fighting for his life when maybe if they got a little help, if they were able to speak to somebody, that they might be alive today. And that's what led him to write two pieces, which were eventually picked up by the RTE and here actually in Radio Kerry. What am I saying?
Yeah, and of course then arising, he wrote those powerful pieces. He was on with Gerry on the Kerry Today programme. And then he ended up on what was then, it's no longer a show, but the Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE. And he spoke, I think the whole country kind of came to a standstill that night. We all remember where we were when we saw him. His message was so powerful that night.
Yeah, it was one of those nights. It was just one of those moments. And it, honest to God, Donald thought nothing of it. He genuinely thought nothing of it. His biggest thrill that night was that he trended on Twitter. And he was above Graham Norton. And that was what he was saying. You know, he was going around the studio. Dahi O'Shea was in the studio the same night. And he was showing Dahi and he said, you know, you're not going to trend above me tonight anyway. So, you know, he thought, while he knew his message was going to be impactful, he genuinely didn't think it was going to be impactful as it was. And I think it actually showed the following day because he was in a wheelchair at the time and I was pushing him down one of the streets in Dublin. And I always remember a mother and a daughter got out of their car, parked up and got out of their car and came back to us to thank Donal for what he said on television the night before. And that started, that we said, like, God, wasn't that kind of strange, you know? And then we were going down on the plane and from Dublin because he couldn't drive a car, unfortunately, or he couldn't go in the car. And the people at the airport all kind of opened gates and got him on the plane and did everything, like, and they were all talking about what he did the night before on the show. And that kind of, we said, oh, something's going to happen here, like, you know. And then it was the envelopes and the messages and the letters that came to the house for months, for weeks after. People really just telling their story about how in some cases sad their lives were, in some cases how lucky they are and they weren't making the most of their lives. You know, started off doing couch to 5Ks, gave up cigarettes. I mean, I always remember that one letter was from a man who had an argument with at work 20 years beforehand. He had an argument with a man at work and they never spoke for 20 years. And after that show the following Monday, they went over and shook hands. You know, it was the simple
because
things.
Donal made them realise how short and precious life is.
Yeah, yeah. And the amount of letters that we got then from people, just young people, old people in their 80s, it didn't matter your age, it didn't matter the, you know, we still have them. Maybe that might be the next book.
Yeah, to print them all, absolutely. And so a lot of that story is here. So I suppose really the story, the book is divided into Donal's life up to his death and then his legacy and the work that you and Finbar have carried on since.
Yes. Shortly after Donal died, we started getting a lot of phone calls asking us to do novenas and school talks and everything. And to be honest with you, I'd never spoken anywhere. I said no to the first, I'd say, 2 months of it. And then a woman from King's Cross, she's originally from South Kerry, she in Cavan, she said, girl, you better get a diary now and start writing up because she said you're going to be very busy. So I did and we started. And that's where the first place I went to was a novena in King's Cross in Cavan. And from then we're going still. You know, we go to 3 or 4 schools a week. We never asked to go to a venue. I'm going to Clonfert after this interview up in Galway for a novena tonight. I've never asked to go to a thing, to be in a place.
The invitations just keep coming in.
Yes, yes, the invitations just keep coming in.
Isn't that extraordinary? Like, how many years on did you say?
13 years.
13 years later, people still want to hear about Donal's life story and his message and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that is quite extraordinary. We might just take a quick ad break. I'm conscious I haven't spoken to Father Mark yet, but I'm going to come to you next, Mark, after this break, and we'll talk a little bit more about the book as well, so stay with us. Now, if you've only just tuned in, Elma Walsh is with us. She's here to talk about a new book that's just out about her late son, Donal Walsh. It's called I Am Me, The Donal Walsh Story. And Elma's been chatting to us a little bit about Donal's legacy. But Father Mark Moriarty is here as well. He's the curate in St. John's Parish here in Tralee. And of course, faith is so much a part of Donal's story as well. But before I come to Mark, Elma, I want you to explain what's been happening at Knock over the last number of years since Donal left us.
Yeah, Knock is... what happened originally was Donal's first anniversary. I just had Mass in the Dominican Church in Tralee. I genuinely thought it would be just family and friends that would come to it. But unknown to us, schools from Tralee, from around Kerry, I remember there was some from Limerick and North Cork, and places that came as well. And it surprised us, you know. We didn't know about them. I had nothing organised for them in a kind of a youth way, a youth team or anything like that. So we decided then the following year that we'd have speakers about youth, resilience and just personalities that had gone through tough times and came through it, and how resilient they were and what faith meant to them. So we continued with that in Tralee, and then I think it was the fourth anniversary that we had the then Papal Nuncio Charles Brown came to Tralee to do Donal's Mass. And he asked us that day, would we take it to Knock the following year? And I thought he was mad, because if anybody's been to Knock, the size of the basilica there is huge. So I said, we'll be lost there, like for numbers, you know. So I spoke to Father Richard at Knock, and he said, no, bring it to Knock. So we did. And we had about, I would think, about 1,800 young people the first year. So it has grown year on year now, averaging out at about 3,000 young people, 2,800 to 3,000 young people that come to Knock every year for Donal's anniversary. It's a kind of a day of pilgrimage. Pope Francis has recognised it in a letter, and so has Pope Leo. Both have recognised it in letters to us. That it's kind of become a pilgrimage of Donal's and a retreat day as well for schools. So mostly it's TY schools. We invite the schools to come. They can come if they like. It's entirely open to everybody. Mostly it's to young people, but it isn't open to everybody. And we have a great day there. We have guest speakers. We have we did a kind of a meditation this week with 2,800 young people in the basilica, and there wasn't a sound heard for 15 minutes. It was really lovely. So every year it's something a bit different, but it is basically the same in that they come, there's speakers, there's workshops, there's Mass after. We ask them all to stay for the Mass after at the basilica, and then they're on the buses home by 3 o'clock. So it has... again, I think there's other forces at work, but this has become the biggest Catholic youth event in Ireland, and I was told in Europe, annual Incredible. Catholic youth event.
Incredible, Elma. And Father Mark, you were there recently with the group from Kerry.
Yeah, so I got to attend the last 2 years now, so the day in Knock. It's absolutely phenomenal to see, as we said, the 2,800 young people getting a taste of the faith. And it's amazing how Donal's message permeates throughout basically time to their hearts today, that this simple message of live life, and this message of life is worth living, and that there is a purpose and a meaning to your life, is something that is deeply Christian and deeply Catholic. And it's something that really every heart and soul resonates with, because there's a truth behind it. But as Elma said, like, to see nearly 3,000 young people in absolute silence and stillness. You know, I mean, normally a bunch of lads or a bunch of girls should be giggling or laughing or whatever, and that's only natural. But to enter into this reality of just stillness and silence, and you could hear, you couldn't even hear a cough.
Yeah.
It was really moving. I was moving to the point that, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard the analogy between a thermometer and a thermostat. So a thermometer is something that measures the environment. It measures the room. A thermostat changes the environment because it either turns the heat up or down. And I really think that was something of Donal's life. Donal was a thermostat where he not only was able to read something in the culture that was permeant and that was affecting many young people, but he then did something to change that by speaking out. By speaking out, not in judgment, not in condemnation, but by speaking out in love and saying that, you know, we only got one shot at this life and life is important and life matters and you matter fundamentally as a person. So Donal became that thermostat for people, that he actually changed the environment of our land, and he still does to this day, where young people can come every year to Knock and still hear his message, but then hear then what the church has to offer to them, which is a word of hope and a word of life and a word of love. That I often say to people, if you want to sum up the gospel in two words, it's you matter.
Can I ask you as well, Father Mark, do you think Donal came into this world with a purpose, mm-hmm. Much in the way that Carlo Acutis did, and there's a lot of parallels between the two of them. It's almost like it was his destiny and to have this phenomenal legacy among young people and more than just young people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're 100% right that Donal, I would consider to be a prophet. What do prophets do? Prophets speak on God's behalf. And that's what Donal did in his own way, in his own time, in the society that he found himself. He spoke a word of life to people and continues to do through his legacy. St. Joan of Arc, just before she died, just to set the context, she was asked a question, "Joan, are you afraid?" And she said these words, "No, I'm not afraid. God is with me. And I was born for this." People are born for a reason. And there is a meaning and purpose behind every single person. And even, albeit with life cut short for Donal, he fulfilled that mission. He fulfilled that purpose a lot more than many people do. You mentioned Carlo Acutis, that Carlo said, you know, many people were all born as originals, but so many people die as photocopies.
Yeah.
Donal didn't do that. He lived as an original.
Stay with us for a second. We have a very short ad break to take, but I want to come back to Elma to ask her one or two things more about the book before we finish. Elma, to come back to you, it's interesting what drawing the parallel there when Father Mark said about Joan of Arc and being asked, was she afraid? I was amazed when I read in the book this morning that Donal actually hated being described as brave or courageous. He was having none of that.
No. He wanted to be seen as an ordinary young man. He wanted people to, I suppose, to see him live his faith and to not be afraid to live their faith in the same way. You know, Father Mark was talking there about Joan of Arc. Donal, Father Padraig Walsh was the person who anointed Donal the day he died. And Father Padraig asked Donal, was he afraid of dying? And Donal said, no, just a little nervous. And was just nervous of the transition from life to death is what he was nervous about. He was never afraid of dying. He was never afraid of where he was going or anything like that. Never, ever. But he just wanted people to appreciate how lucky they were to live their lives, to go out there and live their lives and to have meaning and impact on their lives as well and to bring their faith with them, because it's hugely important. I see going to schools. I was in a school recently in Dublin and they're not allowed to mention the word Christmas. They're not allowed to mention the word Christ. They can talk about Easter. They can mention the word Easter, but not Christ. So they have very little hope of reaching their full potential in faith when they're not allowed to express their faith in the school. And that goes for some schools in Ireland, not all the schools, thankfully, but I know the teachers in those schools are worried about it, and that's why they brought me in, is because they said, we can sneak you in under the banner of mental health, you know, Whereas I talk about faith as a huge part of young people's lives as well. Because I do think that faith and mental health are very, very related.
And Donal was, like, he had a very strong faith. Even before he got became ill, he just had this faith that he carried lightly.
Yeah, it was just innate in him. I can't describe it, you know.
You weren't an overly religious family.
No. We weren't the family that said the rosary every night or anything like that. But we did say the night prayers, God bless Mammy, the dead, Daddy, the cat and the dog and the whole lot. But we'd go to Mass on a Sunday. We'd observe the Catholic events. But we weren't overly Catholic, overly religious or anything like that. But I do remember that when he was in Dublin, my mother had this little purse that she carried relics, you know, of saints in. And my mother had died 2 or 3 years before Donal got cancer. And he used to carry this purse with him to Dublin. And while we were in Dublin, this was when he was 12, 13-ish, the first time that we were in Dublin, he'd be sitting in the bed and he'd say, "Mom, come on, we'd say the rosary." You know, he was never afraid. And even all his friends said that he was never afraid of him to talk to them about his faith. He used to say, when he was getting close to death, he used to say to his friends, to the four friends, "God has me in the palm of his hand, and when I die, I'll be in his arms." Mm. And, you know, his faith and belief in that, you couldn't sway him any way, whatever.
Yeah, that's extraordinary, especially for a young man in this modern world where, you know, faith isn't as strongly practiced as it once was, and there's so many other distractions.
I realise that now, looking back. But I didn't think anything of it at the time, if you know what I mean.
Are there? I also read in the book, and I hope I'm not giving away too much now because we want people to buy the book.
Give it all away.
But a load of people come and visit his grave all the time. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that either. And that's still going on
13 years later. Yeah.
Extraordinary.
You'd find notes over there, or you'd find candles or flowers or different things. And some of them are heartbreaking. Some of them really are heartbreaking. And but then you get the notes as well that tell you that Donal answered a prayer for them or something like that, you know. So they're the ones as well. And I always know, they're what I love to hear. Even when I've been to a school, I was in the school recently, I won't say where, but when I go to a school, I ask them to have a look at Donal, to show the students the documentary or the RTE thing that was on RTE about Donal, and to know something, to do a fundraiser. So this teacher asked the students to write a letter to me thanking me for coming to the school and what Donal meant to them. So all the 120 students wrote a letter, but in one of those letters, one of the boys, a 15 or 16 year old boy, that's what I was talking to, the age group I was talking to, and he said, "I think about committing suicide every day." And the teacher got a fright and the principal got a fright, and they called for the parents and they called for help, and that child is now getting the help that he needs and is in a much, much better place because of that. You know, that's the impact that Donal is having today, 13 years later. It really, I can't reiterate how strong it is throughout the country.
And all these young people can identify with him.
Absolutely.
Because he was one of their own.
Absolutely, sure.
He was their age.
He
wore the same clothes. Yeah, it's quite extraordinary. I better wrap up. We could talk about so much more. But look, his work continues. I suppose you sense him around you the whole time, do you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
In little ways, he's there guiding you.
There's days and I could give out to him as well. And I do give out to him about things.
You were going to say something, Father Mark.
Yeah, just, Deirdre, you mentioned a few minutes ago about Carlo Acutis, the new young saint that we have in our church. And just a thought that came to my mind, and I'd really encourage our listeners today, consider praying to Donal. Maybe pray to him. There's a beautiful prayer to Donal in the book. Maybe pray to Donal and ask for his intercession in whatever area of life you might be struggling in. It could be your own mental health, it could be suicidal ideation, it could be whatever worry you have. But ask for his intercession, because the church believes in the communion of the saints, that the saints still participate in a very strong way with all of us here on earth. To pray to Donal, what if we start praying to him and see what Donal can do for us, as he is doing and continues to do? Because just as Carlo is a new saint in Italy, let's get a saint in Ireland.
Yeah, I've that's not the first time I've read about that, but Elma is not saying anything about that. Listen, Elma, the book, has it been launched?
It has been launched, not last week. It should be in all the Easton shops today or tomorrow. I know it's been distributed to them and it's just filtering down through the shops. Can I just say one thing that we never put on the book actually was, and I must do it in the new print, is all profits from this book will be going to the Donal Walsh Foundation. There will be nothing coming to any of us or anything like that, and we don't ever take a wage for it, but all profits will be going to the Donal Walsh Foundation.
Yeah, his work continues.
Oh, sure. I've no choice, do I? Yeah.
You're never off the road, Elma. Listen, great to have you both in.
Thank you.
Thanks a million, Father Mark. And Elma, always
Thank
great
you for
to see
us
you.
In. Thank you for having us
The
in.
Book, again, is called I Am Me, The Donal Walsh Story. Is it available in local bookstores?
It is in Mahony's and Easton's, as far
Mahony's
as I know.
And Easton's. And it's a great read. I've only dipped in and out of it this morning, but it is that kind of a book that you could dip in and out. And there's loads of inspiration there for anyone who's maybe having a bad day and could do with it. Thanks again to Elma and Father Mark. We'll take a break, folks. Lots more to come.